And you worked in the pit during the week, and you got what you called a lodging allowance.
That's right.
To stay with my grandma in Farnworth.
Right.
I see.
Not to stay with her. You're supposed
to live. To live.
Aye, I did, Darren, but you were, because you were allowed a lodging allowance, because I couldn't come back home for that.
No, not every day. But you came back at weekends.
Yes.
And then you stayed with my grandma.
What was the lodging allowance, did you say?
What was it? 1 6.
24 and
24 30. And 6 a week.
Which were a lot then, you know.
Oh yeah, it sounds a lot.
The labourer's wage was only about £2 a week.
Yeah.
1944, when you bought Tire Tops, because you couldn't leave the pit, you used to go and catch the train from Ramsbottom to Clifton Junction.
Yes.
And he farmed and worked in the pit for 12 months because they wouldn't release him until the end of the war.
Well, how the heck did he manage to farm and?
Well, the granddad helped. And I think, I don't think the first year you actually took milk, did you? It was towards the end of the first year that you actually started doing the milk round.
Yeah.
Because you used to come home, I can remember you coming home from the pit, because my granddad used to milk, because it was all milking by hand then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there was a bloke came and helped my granddad to milk.
But
I can't remember
who,
Bert Mercer came, and Bert Mercer and the granddad milked the cows, and then when my dad came home,
what, in the evening?
In the morning. You must have worked nights, mustn't you?
You worked nights
in the pit.
Yeah.
So then he came home in the morning, kept the train from Clifton to Ramsbottom, and walked from Ramsbottom to Hightop.
Yes.
And then take the milk, and then he'd go to bed for a few hours.
Oh.
Before he caught the train back again at night to go to...
But that would have been, presumably it was a good money earner, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it attracted the wartime. That's right,
yeah.
And then you did it for about 12 months, didn't you, when they released you from the pit?
Yeah.
Now, how did you get your release from the pit? Did it just come automatically, or did you look at Baston?
At Baston.
Now, do you manage that then?
Well, I forget now, but I was...
You got somebody to sign a paper for you, didn't you?
Because that's right. And they went to...
Was it JP?
No, this week, was it? Because I went to... I'm working in one at Pitts up at... Bill Brennan. But he persuaded me this is a good idea, and I went into all sorts of blood trouble to get from pit, which were more useful than this one up here, this one up on more.
Well, you were working at
this. So you were timeless.
He said it was a good idea. It might have been alone that you'd go home.
What were the pit called? Pendlebury? You worked in the pit at Pendlebury?
Newtown.
And then you got the offer of this job at a pit up here.
No, it wasn't that offer of a job. It was Billy Redman to sort his...
But where were Billy Redman's pit?
Well, we're up for... Because when I had a lot of trouble to get... I had a lot of trouble because they wouldn't grant me a permit. And I don't know... When I got to this Redman, I realised I made a bloody mistake, a damn mistake, because half its salary, but what's the name of being a deputy? I thought, it was through Billy Redman time, I'd been here home and all that, just for his own interest.
How big was this pit at Redman?
Well, they were only, he used to get, what's the name, what's it called? Who was it for?
Did he deliver coal, you mean?
No, he did deliver coal. I forget now. But when I went in, I only did 3 days. And I says to Billy Redman, bloody hell, I was watching him. I was like a bloody drunk rat. I used to take tubs out, you know. I call them tubs, like it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stepped up, if you walked up a sleeper, you went plunging in water, you caught your back on the roof, it was all slutching, but I did look above it. So I says to Billy, I says after the first day, I said, I made a bloody big mistake here. There were three brothers there. Early the year, he was a false head bookie, to his own interest. And he said, well, Mickey, I went, no. Bobby's, that's the second day. And this is when I said it. I said, really? I'm bloody letting mother think. He said, no, well, he said, I can't do that. I said, bloody, the third day. And I went, watching all sorts of bloody things with National Service Officer at Rochdale, what's name there? The one that came
over
where I had, all sorts of bloody...
He's been doing the coca control.
Oh,
all sorts of bloody difficulties to get things. So anyway, when it come going back, it was the same bloody parole. So all was an idea, he was a green card. And so I thought, well, they were refusing me, what's in the free, refusing me there, which was bloody ridiculous, because I'm more useful in Newtown than a bloody what's there. And then anyway, I said, I had a salary. I must have been bloody, but you do some bloody mad tricks sometime, you know.
So how many men do you work at this Red Lump pit then?
Only him.
Just him and you?
Oh, no, wagging it, buddy.
You were wagging it?
You know where Gramps is?
Yeah.
I went up there.
The Civic Hall.
And I went there. Yeah, I forget his name. So he gave me what?
He gave you a green card. When was that? To say you no longer had to do this war work?
So. No, so if you go back.
Back to?
You'd have a green card to leave. And you'd have a green card
to change jobs, you mean? To change,
yes, in the pit.
In the pit.
During the war.
And then he did for this, so that caused a bloody eruption, you know, because they wanted to know how had he got this. But he went that much, we had exchange. Well, I told him the difficulties, so he said, no, I'll hear ya.
So, was it, I mean, it sounds like you was farmers, in farming, you'd be quite a lot better off in terms of food and rationing.
Oh,
wouldn't
you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is when you were in your pit years.
Yeah. But what was it like for the ordinary people in Ramsbottom compared to people who have been farming and going in the war, or just after the war? Because,
well, the majority of them worked in the mills, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I think as far as Ramsbottom concerned, I don't think they were badly off. You know, there was plenty of work.
I'm thinking about the rationing now.
Oh, the rationing. I don't know.
When you had haymakers, you got extra coupons,
yeah.
I
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
Who issued the coupons then?
The government, wasn't there?
Yeah, but locally, where did you get them from?
Where did you get your ration boots from?
I think they were sent to you.
They were
sent to you.
Different colour for children.
I can't remember what colour.
Yeah, because you'd some of the sweets coupons. Because you used to get my sweets from a little shop in Holcombe Village. A little Mrs. Lawson's opposite shoulder.
Were there many shops up there?
There was the post office. There was the sweet shop. And there was the co-op.
Whereabouts was the co-op involved?
What was that restaurant
now? Oh, it was Anderton's, wasn't it?
Yeah, what was Anderton's? Used to be the co-op. It used to be me. Both co-op and
that. What could you get there?
Oh, anything you wanted. Anything.
So food?
Yeah, bread.
Bread.
Everything. Bacon.
Like a grocery store?
Yeah,
a grocery store.
And vegetables, everything.
So people living in Holcombe wouldn't need to go down to Ramsbottom?
No.
They could get everything they needed in Holcombe itself.
And Mrs. Lawson's sweet shop, she used to sell all sorts of bits and bats and... slides and pop and...
Where was that shop?
That was in the middle of the row, opposite the shoulder. there's a post box, and then there's a house with two steps up, and in the middle of that row was Mrs. Larson's sweet shop.
Oh, sweet shop.
And there used to be a post office, you know.
Yeah, post office. Yeah. The post office was down Lumcar Road.
Right.
Mrs. Entwistle.
Right, I think that bugger.
Well, it was more in village than...
Yeah, just just past Shoulder Button.
Yeah.
On your left.
Are you going...
The other shops were on your right.
That's right.
Mm, I see. Yeah.
Came up to Iron Tops a lot, didn't it?
Harris Taylor.
Yeah.
George Upchester.
Yeah.
What was Harris Taylor's position? Was he?
Well, he sold me firmly, first place.
He sold him.
So he owned a lot of land in Holcombe, did he?
Well, he must have just owned Iron Tops, didn't he? Because you know Iron Tops off him.
Oh, right. Mm. So his brother found Iron Tops. And then Dixons. Were the head of farmers.
Mm.
When I was handling that, I was different than Eagles. So, we'd had electric money in hand 10 months before.
Yeah.
So that's when I got...
My dad only had one arm, and he could well take care of better than anybody.
Couldn't
he?
Could
do anything
with
one arm.
You could milk when you were 10 years old. Yeah.
Because I had one. No! My dad would have a bossy way, but he could get you to do it.
Oh, yeah.
My milk spread.
They never forced you, but they had a way of doing
it.
Yeah. So you did it.
Mm.
If you had enough energy to spare it at night, you'd not done the day's work.
So you're saying about Longcroft?
You said that, but you never left it, but I don't know why.
Oh, why should you take any notice of you, should I?
Well, that was Wormsley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lovely
house.
Yeah.
Didn't
make
no
use in entire town for us, no.
Oh, I know it.
Then you
got
the garden up next door.
Longcroft, Wormsley. And then you went to... Gindles, you know, Gindles.
Well, no, we went to about the Gindles, because I never lived there.
No, that's right. So you're still delivering milk up to 72?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's when...
And that's when my dad
stopped.
I used to take milk as but then my dad got a job as security officer at Aldaster.
Yes.
And I went to Bridge, I went missing at Bury General.
Yeah. But it was still going top in 1972.
And pasteurised, because you buy pasteurised.
You buy that in and then bottle it, or just
buy it
in?
No, you just buy it bottled from Kenya.
So once you stopped farming here, what did you do? How did you use the land then?
Well, you sold the land to John Lee across here, didn't you?
Which is
the garden centre, except for this paddock that goes all the way around. So you sold the field across the road, and he sold the barn.
So that's still being used for farming, is it?
Yeah. He sold the barn across here.
And what about the paddock? What do you use that for?
This paddock, well, we rent it out at the moment. Well, we did. We didn't do anything with it last year because the woman that had it, she didn't pay her rent, and we've not heard from her since. So last year, nobody had it. So it's just a paddock. For anybody that has a horse.
I see.
Just wants to graze it in summer.
But down here, sold to John Lee about 1990.
It's still in mine, yeah. All the way up.
All the land?
I just run it all.
Yeah, but John Lee's using it. John Lee's what? Is he paying your rent, is it?
There's not
a
couple of
examples, is he paying the rent or something?
No.
Just using it.
It's still at hands at solicitors.
Oh, I see.
But they never finalised it. John Lee owes him, is it £200? From 19, whenever you sold it.
1980. Did you sell the land in 1980 as well?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. 1980 something.
Yeah.
And it's still not finalised.
No.
But he's opened the garden centre, and it's effectively your land then.
No, that's his land.
That's his land.
Yeah.
So which bit was it? Just a bit around the garden?
It's
not
field.
Right.
Over there.
So the top field is and the area where the garden centre is and the land on the other side of the field, the other side of the road, did you say?
Yeah.
That was...
Which is that?
Sold to John Lee.
No, you sold him the land. Didn't you sell him the barn after, separately?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, the land is it. It's just the barn, isn't it?
It's just the barn.
It's just the barn.
Right.
Yeah.
I can hear him. He's been left.
Yeah, different people have rented it out, but I think he charges such a high rent.
He charges too much.
That they don't stop very long.
And what do they use it for?
Well, there's the top of it, the bloke's got cars in it.
Oh, I see.
And the bottom, the middle one, there's a girl, has a horse. And then I think there's somebody else at the bottom with cars, because this last few months there's been quite a few cars at the bottom, and they keep putting one for sale on their footpath here, but I don't know.
So you offered 2,000 for the tech, and they let you have it. But you own the land at the back. That was
part. Yeah, the land at the back came from Car Bank.
Yeah, and if they demolished it, then it would have been subsidence.
Yeah.
So they would have been involved in a claim or something.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for £2,000, it went to Bad Bank, wouldn't it?
So he had it demolished, and the materials. You won't remember the old technical
stuff.
Yeah, I do. I can vaguely remember.
Yeah, I went to school there for Cuckoo.
Did you? Yes, I heard about classes there.
And then it was a night school.
That's right.
And I went for sewing.
Were you at Peelbrow School?
I went at Peelbrow School, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the boys went for woodwork. And then it was a really well-equipped school then. Because you came in and you came up steps. And it was a great big room, the cuckoo room, with all these electric cuckoos. You know, that's a long time ago.
You talk about what, 1940s?
Yeah.
He was a kind of an adjunct to the schools, wasn't he?
Yeah. And the cuckoo teacher was a Miss Fenwick.
Yes, I heard about Miss Fenwick.
Eliza Street.
Yeah. The stone.
The stone and everything. To build the bungalow.
The bungalow at
Tech.
At the Tech, yes, I see.
You go through the big gates.
Yeah.
And then it's
And then you that land at the back, which became Uppingham and Windermere. I think you said you sold to Ken Dunham, didn't you?
Yeah.
I didn't sell it to Ken Dunham. Did I? I rented it to him. I should have sold it when God alone wants to, but I let him build houses and I'll do the governance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did him a big favour, didn't I?
Well, tell those houses.
Yeah, and I'll do the governance.
And you just do the
governance. That's
what I'm saying. That's
what
we're
ludicrous, isn't it? That would be the 70s or something like that.
Yeah,
about 70s.
Because
it would be in the 70s, wouldn't it?
I'll
charge them every time somebody buys or sells, they pay you a fee.
A fee, and I charge
£20. Right. So this is World War II, isn't it?
The bit, but the arms were the, what's the name, and Brian, and I sent one to be smoked. So we both smoked
them,
and what's
the name of it? So who did the slaughtering up at Higher Tops then?
But Sanderson expired me because he worked at Hebrews. He was a butcher, he'd been a butcher in his younger days.
I can't
wait
tomorrow.
It was perfect, you know. No.
Were you legal to slaughter pigs up there, or was that just something that you did on the side?
It's wartime, you know.
Oh, I see.
No advantage because everything was a premium.
Yeah.
Well, it's not dishonesty.
No.
Well, I don't call it so, do you?
No, I suppose not. It's your own cat, your own pig. What about what happened to the pigs that you kept? Where would they go when you'd finished with them? Did you bred them for meat, presumably. Where did you send them to?
Yeah.
Did they go to Cotterill's?
No, I don't say. You send anything to Cotterill's?
Huh?
You send anything to Cotterill's? You know what
I mean?
I don't think so.
Didn't they slaughter them on Kay Brow at the stables, the old stables place, the place that became a mill later?
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? No.
At the back?
The back of of the shop?
Yeah.
What, just kind of an outbuilding at the back of the shop?
That's right.
And they slaughtered them there.
That's my memory of it.
Yeah. So they actually made pies actually on the site, did they? Cotterills.
That's my memory of it. Am I right, do you think?
What's that?
They
slaughtered Cotterills
at
back.
We never
sent
them. We had any more than three.
The pigs were for your own use.
Yeah.
It's a
good thing, you see,
with them. Yeah. And what about sheep? I believe you kept sheep briefly.
No. Well, when we were at Carebank.
Yeah, mate, but they
got worried, didn't they? They got worried and
dragged. Yeah. By the dogs from the hall. Yeah.
What
we
call it,
dogs
for that.
Yeah.
You
don't get
all
ruined
them
all, didn't
it,
that way?
Oh, no.
When you say the Grants, you, I mean, the Grant family weren't living at
Carbank. The Grants,
the
Grants.
Oh, the pub.
Oh,
yeah.
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 Oh, okay. Not Peter.
Not Peter Roberts and
Mitch
Lacey.
No,
the Grants came from there. Yeah,
that's where they came. And you keep the sheep for mutton, would you, for the meat?
No,
very few sheep there, just a few.
Yeah, very few.
Yeah,
yeah,
he didn't have sheep at Bolton.
When you were at Topps Farm, had you any right to allow your animals to roam on the moor, on Holcombe Moor?
Oh, yeah.
You were a commoner then, were you? You had a right.
Because I know what we...
Yeah, our cows used to roam all the way at Moors.
Because we had some line-off cows, haven't we? Yeah. The three. And they used to come to Watson's to be fed. And we'd visit here, town, but next to the thing, you know, we're not seeing them on time and that. They weren't there.
Yeah.
So I started making inquiries. And we went to Watson, didn't we? They'd got round the back somewhere because it's the only way they could go. And where was this place I called that? And I said, have you? Have you had any cattle?
And they kicked the hawks, you
know, I've not seen any yet. So I went further along the road. And we were in this Mandersey, I further along the road. So I come back and played bloody hell with
him. You could recognise them, could you?
Yes, certainly.
Do you want anyone here on it?
No, not yet. I'm going around in cows up and going as far as Pilgrim's Cross.
Oh, yeah.
And further.
Yeah. Round in the cows.
Oh, but
Moorhead. Yeah, yeah.
And that one on a mile, you have off cows. There is Stephen for miles.
Yeah, we're not all but Moorhead.
This would be in the summer, presumably, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be
fair.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Mm.
You know,
that's what they say. You won't let kids go up at Moorhead.
No.
Eh? You won't let kids go up at
Moorhead
to be on your own.
No? That's
what they tell
kids. I remember soldiers being on guard there when I used to come home from Oakham School.
So that would be in the war, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
When
in the
39-45, so that...
Well, it's a bit more, that's that, yeah.
Just past the bar house, that's Stoney Lane.
That's
where
the
whirlwind
hall was.
That's
where
the whirlwind, yeah, you come up the Stoney Lane,
yeah.
And over the stair, and then there's a farm on the hill, and behind there is the whirlwind.
That's right.
Well, when I went to Holcombe School, we used to go and play around it, up on the whirlwind.
Yeah.
That was part of the sports.
So was the army actually, was the training camp in use at that time? The army training camp on the other side of the moor.
At Hawkshaw?
Mm.
I should imagine so. It went on our side.
No,
I don't. I mean, I don't know where the soldiers
came from.
So this is when you went to Scotland,
to Lanarkshire for the cattle.
I mean, there was no much worse then, you know.
No. So that was quite an adventure for you, were you? Yeah. Very good.
I've never done that like
this. And then, you also own property in Cornwall.
Oh,
yeah, I'm Wales. I'm Wales. Yeah, I had a lovely house in Cornwall. It's a little place called Welcome.
These holiday type places.
No, 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 it's a big old fashioned house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was haunted.
And this was a question of buying it in order to, well, just to live there,
just as
a holiday.
Well, because Uncle Steve lived in Exeter, didn't he? And you were reading a paper when you'd gone down to Exeter, and it advertised this place. And it was...
Arthur and the Tudor Trevor, I was never forgetting.
Yeah, and it was sort of on a cliff top.
Oh, wonderful place.
Wonderful place.
That advertised it.
I mean, different friends of ours went. For example, one couple who my husband was in the forces with, they went and they didn't stay the night. They left during the night and wanted to keep that. Because the house was down, but it wasn't, but it had stories.
Were there hauntings in Ramsbury, something you knew of?
No, not really.
Well, Roger, you used to come home frightened, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And the dad went down one year.
Oh, I heard it. And I had a friend there, you know.
There's some jobs down there. And I've been down a few days on this particular day. I was thrown out of bed. Listen to this. Thrown out of bed. Absolutely thrown out. Well, I couldn't find lights to switch on them.
Well, I wouldn't come on with it.
Wouldn't come on.
Had you been in the pub the night before?
No.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
No.
No.
And padded with all your walling reports.
Yeah.
You just set them up for the year, would you? You just do it.
He'd come out from town to town to see if there were any odd jobs, and they'd ever find him. So there's a wall up there. And he should straighten that up for whatever.
I don't
know
where
he got to.
Yeah.
Are there many Irish come doing that sort of thing in Manchester?
We only knew Paddy, didn't we?
Yeah.
You don't remember
anything. But a lot of men did used to come over from Ireland.
Did they?
But we always
had it. Yeah.
But on farm work?
On farm.
In the 30s? 30s and 40s?
But other part were built in Cornish stone, weren't they?
So this is the pickup
Jack,
brothers.
Someone used to knock about.
Jack Taylor
used to knock about.
You reckon they probably never went to bury these two old
folks?
Oh, no. In the 70s when they died in 1950. And they referred to this stretch of road, the Wally Road, isn't it, as the new road.
Manchester Road, yeah.
Manchester as the new road, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Really old time
way
of talking about it, as opposed to the old road over the top. The old turnpike.
Well, they never had a wash, really, because I can remember them. They used to have an old overcoat, tied right middle of the string, you know. And neither of them married, did they, those two brothers?
Surprised.
And Jack never married?
No, the son never married. There was only the sister that married, wasn't there? She became a tailor. So, I mean, that's all been knocked down and re-modernised. As
Thickfield?
No, the bottom one.
Far back, no.
No. Topwood.
Topwood.
Yeah, that was like the house with three cottages, and it's all been knocked down.
That was the Jack Taylor. Is that Lower Dickfield? Those are the cottages at Lower Dickfield.
No, that's Topwood.
Topwood Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you look from Kibbeth Crew, it's sort of here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kibbeth Crew is here.
Yeah.
And you look
page 45. So Springwood Mill still being used for. Windsor in the 1950s.
It was built in 1842. I remember quite a lot of workers.
At Springwood.
And I can remember all these bales of cotton. It was really fluffy. Cottony and fluffy.
Sounds like spinning, doesn't
spinning,
it?
Spinning, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember that. Because it was with a smell from the oil. Here, and the smell from the cotton.
Right, so in the mill yard you could smell the tallow and the...
As you walk, there's a path as you come up here to work while it's there. As you walked up that path there, you could smell the oil and the grease from here.